want to just spend some time this morning just talking about the Bible and the Word of God and the gift that it is to you. I lost my dad about 8.5 years ago. And there's a lot of times when I'm in the middle of something and working at something, because he pastored the church before I did, and he knew a lot of things that I need to know. And just even about life and kids and all those kind of things, where I'd like to say to him, "Hey, Dad, what do you think of this? Dad, what do you think of that? What's your opinion? What do you know about this?" And I have to go by memory, right? I could go back and listen to some of the messages he preached, but I could think about it. But if I knew that I was leaving this planet in the next, you know, 2 or 3 months or a year, I would want to, you know, write a book to tell my kids, my sons, how to live life, right? What to do and what not to do, how to do it well, how to live life right, how to succeed, how to help others, how to be a good man, how to do what all things in life that we need to do. And really, in a lot of ways, that's what God did by giving us His Word. He gave us a word that we could live by. It's like His final directions for us so that we can know how to live life well. Now, anybody that's lived on the planet for more than, you know, the first year, and even the first year there's a lot of whining and crying going on, you know, but everybody that's lived on this planet knows that it doesn't always go easy, that there's challenging times, that there's good times, that there's times full of sorrow and sadness, there's times that are full of joy and happiness. And knowing that, right, we need to know how to function in each of those times. We need to know how to act in those times. We need to know how to live in those times. Because so many people that I know, they do really well when things are good. They live life well. They enjoy life. They're good to their neighbors. They're good to their spouse. They're good to their kids. But as soon as things go tough, as soon as things go bad, their life falls apart. We see people every year, every day probably, that end their own life because they can't figure it out. Well, we don't have to have that. We can live by the Word of God. This Word is a gift to us. It's precious. We as Christians, believers, we should treasure this highly. We should know that this is a great treasure, and we should treat it with that kind of respect and awe. This morning I want to start a series on the Word of God, and we're going to call it Farming 101. Although this morning won't feel like a farming kind of message, we're going to start next week, and you can start reading ahead, but looking at, you know, the parable of the sower, where the sower went out to sow, and the seed is the Word of God. So you can start looking at it, but this morning I want to go back to a message I preached in 2009 called Roll Up the Rim. I thought it was a really powerful message. It reminds me every time I have a cup of coffee, really almost, that the Word of God is important. So this is kind of a uniquely Canadian message, right? Because most places in the world wouldn't know what you mean by Roll Up the Rim. But most Canadians, especially us Dutch Christian Canadians, it's like our final great opportunity to play the lottery without feeling any sense of guilt, right? All you just got to do is drink a lot of coffee. I don't know, maybe once in a while and pour out half the cup because you don't really feel like it, but you wanted a rim anyway. Did you guys like Roll Up the Rim? It's like one of my favorite times of year in my coffee budget. I save actually a little bit ahead of that so I'd have more money for coffee so I could roll up the rim more often. And this year I had a bad year. Last year I had a run of coffee that was like, I think I paid for one in 11. It was amazing. Christine this year rolled up the rim and won a $100 gift card. It was good. But I don't know if you have rituals. I have my rituals. Some people, they take the cup and they're like with their teeth, trying to rip it up and roll it up. And other people, like I have my thumbs and I roll it up. And usually even before I throw it out, I roll it up again just to check and see if it's changed. I don't know about you. You know, because I just don't want to miss it by accident. But then there comes a time in every year when all of a sudden you drive through the drive-thru and you get a brown cup. And it's like, oh, really? I just had a coffee this morning. I didn't need another. I actually had three coffees today. This is my fourth. I didn't need this, and now I get a brown cup. Do you know any other Tim Hortons where they're rolling up the rim still? And we look and we look and we look, but when everybody's out, right? And then we go to just tossing the cup away like it doesn't matter. How many of you roll up the rim on your brown cup? Anybody? No, right? Because it's stupid, right? Because there's no value. But my greatest fear a lot of times is that we treat the Bible like the brown cup. You know, so many times we as believers, we're trying to roll up the rim and find out what we can have, what we can get, what we want now. And we read and try and find that little treasure for ourselves. And then sometimes when it doesn't come around exactly the way we think, we toss the Bible aside. We walk home. And I mean, in church, does anybody need a Bible? Because if you do need a Bible, you come to church here and you don't have a Bible, please stop by guest services. We have lots of Bibles we can give you. All right? But my fear is that we treat the Bible like the brown cup, that we come home from church, if you carry your Bible to church, and we toss it aside, and we don't read the Bible from one week to the next. Now, I think if everybody's honest, a lot of people have times in their life where they're more focused and disciplined, and in other times where they're not as focused and disciplined. But we all need to have that time where we read the Word of God and where we, get it in our hearts and in our life. This is what David said in Psalm 119, verse 105. He said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In verse 11, he said, "I treasure your word above all else. It keeps me from sinning against you." In verse 89, he said, "O Lord, your word is established in the heavens forever." So there's this idea of both the word of God that it keeps you tuned into Him. It keeps you in His care and in His grace and in His mercy. There's this idea in the Word of God that it's eternal. The Bible said that He's even exalted His Word above His name. There's value in the Word of God because God, we talk about God and we say God can do anything. And the truth is, He can't do anything. He can only do what He said He would do. He can't turn on you because His nature is written here. He's told us what He's like. He's promised us certain things, and we can rely on Him for His promises. He limited Himself, all right? He didn't. It's not that He can't. It's He won't because He limited Himself. So we can read the Word of God, and know the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, the One who created everything, who said and it was, who said and it was, and who said and it was. If you want to see David, David was like, he was the worshiping king. He was the priest king. He was the guy who really understood relationship with God before Jesus even came, and he wrote in 119, if you read Psalm 119, it's David going on and on and on about the Word of God. David, you know, like we hear people in our culture today say, "Oh, we don't live under the law anymore. We live under grace." And to a degree, that's cool. But David said, "I love your law." David said that several times in 119. "I love your law because it keeps me. It holds me. It gives me security. It helps me." And we need to love the Word of God. We need to love it. So today, as we start this series, it's my hope and my goal that you would find yourself with the Word of God in your lap on a regular basis over this next, forever, hopefully, but especially over this next bunch of weeks, that you would take the Word every day and open it and read it. I think James is a great book to read from. James, especially if you're already a believer, it just helps you to grow strong. It helps you to see, where you're at and help you to grow. So I want to read a piece this morning out of James. It says in James 1, verse 22, Do what God's word says. Don't merely listen to it, or you will fool yourself. If someone listens to God's word but doesn't do what it says, he's like a person who looks at his face in a mirror, studies his features, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. However, the person who continues to study God's perfect teaching that makes people free and who remains committed to them will be blessed. People like that don't merely listen and forget. They actually do what God's teaching says. So it's really important for us not to just read it, but to do it. There's so much about God's word that we know. I mean, I grew up in Sunday school, and I remember, you know, like I've heard all the Bible stories. I know if you could start quoting a verse, I can mostly finish that verse. I've read the Bible through several times and studied the word of God a lot, you know. So, but unless I apply it, then it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. We know much more of the word of God than we're willing to be obedient to. We know much more about the word of God than we're willing to be obedient to. We don't have a great problem with access to God's word. The problem we have is with the application of the word that we know. So many times we're seeking for more and more nuggets hidden in the word of God, which are there, and you could find them. But there's so many things that are clearly written that we should just apply those. If we did that, even if we applied two or three things from the word of God and lived those things, it would rock our world. Really. I generally read about a book a week. I listen to a lot of preachers, like regularly. I read a lot of blogs. I am always learning and always listening. I'm totally saturated with ideas, angles, teachings on the Word of God. And my guess is that most of you are too. I think there's a lot of people here that listen to a lot more preaching than what you just hear here on a Sunday morning. That there's a lot of people here that read a lot more books and that, right? I also study the Word of God a lot for myself. I study for Sundays. I study for Thursday nights. I study for young adults. I study for all kinds of different things. Plus, I study for my own personal growth. So I'm absorbed in the Bible, right? The truth is, though, all the time spent, all the care given, all the knowledge acquired mean absolutely nothing unless I do something with it, unless I do it. I could study, learn, blah, 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 and if I never do what the Word of God says, it has no effect. Do you know there's parts of the world where access to God's Word is so, so limited? There's parts of the world where they'll tear a Bible up. They'll pull all the sheets out of a Bible. And a family could have a sheet of the Word of God, you know, for a week. And they study and they memorize it. And then they have to secretly take that page and they have to share it or trade it with another family and so on and so on, with the risk of losing their own life. They actually risk their freedom and their life by having a page of the Bible in their possession. They don't have access. Did you know that in 2005 in North America that we bought 500,000 Bibles a week? A week. Right? We have access to it. What we receive at little cost, though, we often put little value on. What we receive at little cost, we often put little value on. So let's take a look at what these verses that I just read can teach us this morning and what we should do with what we learn. The first point I want to make this morning is God's Word is a mirror that shows who you are in light of who God is. God's word is a mirror that shows you who you are in light of who he is. In James 1:23, it says, if someone listens to God's word but doesn't do what it says, he is like a person who looks at his face in a mirror. It's a really cool comparison that James makes about the word of God being like a mirror here. He compares God's word to a mirror, and we all have mirrors in our house, right? Everybody have a mirror? Yeah. Everybody spend some time in front of a mirror every day? Some of you maybe should spend less, some of you should spend more, but the mirror, right, is there for us. A mirror tells us a lot about ourselves. It tells us to see if we're clean, because like I have Christine to do that for me, but like there's many times where Christine will go, you got something on your face, and I'm like, and I'm rubbing the wrong side of my cheek, and then she tell me, no, no, it's over here, it's up there. But if I have a mirror, it's really easy. I can just rub it off, right? It tells you, right, if your teeth are white. It tells you if your hair is looking good, right? It's really challenging, you know, like being bald and shaving your head. There's like a lot of little hairs grow here and there and everywhere. You got to really work at that. I need a mirror. It might not seem like hair care is a big priority for me, but I do spend some time at it. It helps you to see if you have any blemishes, right? It helps you to look at how you look overall. Because you could wear a really nice pair of pants, and you could wear a really nice shirt, right? And you could think you look really good, but if the pants and the shirt don't match, it's really bad, right? So the mirror helps us to see all that. But there are a few things that a mirror won't do, can't do. A mirror will never lie to you. Right? Mirror will show you exactly what it sees. Right? It doesn't butter you up. It has no ability to change anything about your appearance. It has no ability to do that. It is what it is. It just reflects what's standing in front of it. So when I stand in front of the mirror, right, I look and I say, well, could use a bit of work right there. And it doesn't matter how long I stand in front of that mirror and look at my belly, it doesn't go away. It stays the same. I could pull it in a little bit, pull out my chest a little bit, looks a little bit better. But after a while, it gets hard to breathe, right? But we really, the Bible just teaches us, I mean, the mirror just shows us exactly what's in front of it. The truth is, the only thing a mirror is able to do is give the opportunity for me to see myself as I truly am. Which is kind of good. Sometimes it's not fun, but it's good. To get an honest assessment of what I've got going on that looks good and what needs to change. So in the mirror, I can see my stomach, right? And I can get the opportunity to realize that I should do something about that. And I am doing something about that over time. The Word of God gives me an accurate image of who I am in light of who He is, of who God is. When I read the Word of God, I can see what I need to work on as far as God's standards go. As I read the Word and listen to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying to me through it, then I can see and grow and change into the image of who He is. I get a clear picture of what should be done in order to be who God is calling me to be. So many times we don't progress because we never allow the Word of God to show us who we are. We don't get better. We don't deal with our issues and our problems. We don't sometimes. This week at youth we were talking about that God loves you. One of the big things to learn, if we're going to love ourselves, we have to realize that God loved us, that God called us His children, right? Children, long-term commitment, right? My mom, right, she goes away on holidays, like on a cruise for 10 or 15 days or how many months she's going away next time, right? But she'll always be like, before she leaves, she'll have me in her office and she'll be like kind of worried face and she'll go, are you guys going to be okay when I'm gone? And I'm like, I'm almost 50, Mom, relax, I'm going to be okay, right? So like, but like as a parent, the commitment is long-term. And as we look into God's Word, we look that He's called us children of God. So we could see, you know, what's bad and what we need to fix, but we could also see the great love that God has and what He sees us as. When I look in the mirror in the morning, I can look and say, look, Son of God, child of God, long-term commitment to me. I could say and look in the mirror and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Even though, yesterday wasn't a good day, and I did a few things that I'm ashamed of or that I wish I never did, but it's not about my righteousness. It's about the righteousness of God that lives in me now, that He's given me. It's a gift. And I can see those things. But unless we open the Word of God, we're always confused and we don't really know. We look in the mirror and we forget what kind of person we were. We forget what we look like. So when we take a quick look, we can see it. But if we don't focus on what God is showing us, we'll never, ever change. God's Word shows you who you are in light of who He is. God's Word always gives you a true reflection. It doesn't change due to situations or anything else. He shows us a true reflection of who we are. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are more than conquerors. We can do all things that He's called us to do through Him who strengthens us. We are all that. Right? So, the second thing is, God's Word is not meant to be unclear. God's not trying to trick you. God's not some evil trickster that like tells you you should do something and then laughs at you when you can't. That sounds like a silly thing to say, but I'll tell you what, that's a great revelation, because sometimes we're trying to live for God. We're trying to do what's right, and sometimes it doesn't feel like it's really producing what we thought it would produce, but we need to keep moving on in faith and trust God, because God is not evil. God is not a trickster. God has invested in you and given you the power to do what He's called you to do. He's not trying to hide truth from you. He's not trying to take the truth and make it so hard to figure out. Like if you go back, and Pastor Peter preached on this a few weeks ago about, you know, the fall and the rise of the church, where there was a time in church history where they took the Word of God away because they said, you're not smart enough to know the Word of God. You can't figure it out. You can't do it. You know, but God is not trying to hide it from us. He's given it to us freely. I don't know. Like, I mean, in my house and in my office, I probably have, like, paper Bibles, 20 or 30, to be honest. I got tons of them. And then on my phone, I have another probably 30 versions of the Bible. And on my computer, more again. Like, we have access to God's truth, and He's not trying to hide it from us. He wants to reveal the truth to us. It doesn't happen by putting the Bible under your pillow at night and just, you know, it's soaking in through your pillow. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens by opening it and reading it and studying it and asking God what He's saying to you. Does this make sense? It's really important. It's important for us, right? This is what Jesus said about Himself in John 18, verse 37. Pilate, as before he was going to kill Jesus, or before he's going to release him to the Jews to kill him, asked him, so, are you a king? Is that what you are? Are you a king? And Jesus said, you're correct in saying that I'm a king. I've been born and have come into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth believes in me. He was saying, I've come to reveal truth. I've come to testify about truth. So, listen to me, know me, open my word, trust me. So the problem is, though, that so many times we're trying to find some deep, hidden meaning in the words of the Bible that may or may not be there, when instead we should be trying to live out what is clear. It's simple. It's really clear. You know, like, it's there. Oftentimes, though, we don't really want to do that. We don't want to just read the simple stuff. What we in fact probably want to do is we like to hear and read things that are slightly confusing so that we don't know what to do with them so that we can just keep living the way we're living. Right? Because, like, I mean, like, I've heard a lot of messages in my life, and some of them I'm like, at the end of them, and then I'm like, now what do I do? Because we need to know now how to apply what we've heard to our life and walk them out. We sometimes are more happy to hear a confusing thought or a vague thing and sit back and do nothing. It's our flesh. That's the flesh part of us wants to do that. Do you remember the pictures where you, like it was, they're called 3D art, right? And you saw these little, you know, it just was kind of a page, and then if you stared at it, and you cross your eyes, and you look past it, and if you got, you know, the wind blowing exactly the right direction, and like it would all of a sudden, a picture would pop out, right? Remember those? I love those. I was actually good at them. I could look at them almost right away and get them. But I remember people that looked at them and looked at them. No way, I can't get it. But a lot of us, you know, we look at God's word as being like that. If we just look at it exactly, you know, cross our eyes and then maybe something will pop into view. But so much of it is so clear, so easily written, so practical. Like I can almost take this, well, I do take this out. Whenever someone comes to me, whether they have a financial problem, we could take God's word and we could look in it and we could say, look, this is what God's word says, right? That we're stewards and we should take care of what God's given us. And you know what? Like Jesus even was, you know, at the one time where they needed to pay the taxes, and he said to one of his disciples, well, go throw a hook in there and catch a fish. And they pulled the taxes. God does miracles in finances, right? And you know, like if you're sick today and you need God to heal you, we could open up God's word and we could find scriptures that say, like, by God's stripes, you are healed. By stripes of Jesus, you are healed. We can look in here, you know, if you're having trouble in your relationships, and he'll help you with that. If you're having a hard time figuring out, you know, your career path or whatever you're having to struggle with, God's word has the answer, and it's clear. It's not hard. We sometimes make it hard. A lot of times, that's how we treat the word of God, like that picture. We stare at it, right? And we try and see some new deep truth jump off the page. But that's not the way God made it to be. One of the biggest learning moments I had, we had someone here speaking, and they were just talking about, you know, they were talking about marriage, I think. And the lady said, like, if I could just live this one scripture out, my marriage would be so great, and I'm working on this scripture every day. Sometimes there's just a few simple truths we need to know and live out, and the rest of it will come, right? Let's not be so complex. Let's take the truth as we see it, and let's live it. Let's live it. So, number three. God's word requires action on our part. So in James 1:25 it says, however, the person who continues to study God's perfect teachings that make people free and who remains committed to them will be blessed. People like that don't merely listen and forget. They actually do what God's teachings say. Here's the thing. We can know the word of God. We can study the word of God. We can memorize it. Learn, acquire more and more knowledge, and still not change. Because change is not about what you know, it's about what you do with what you know. It is about that. Not about the word that you have heard, but about the word that you put into action. This is simple truth. This is Christianity 101. Like, honestly, we make it complex, but it's not about what you know. It's about what you do with what you know. Many of us think that if we read the Bible, it will change us. To a degree, that's true, but not completely true. I can introduce you to people that I know. This one guy, he could quote the Bible perfectly. I mean, he knows, he could quote you a verse for anything. He could preach at you. He could thump his fist. He could tell you so much about it. And at the same time, treat his family like garbage. He used the Bible as a hammer. His personality is so ignorant, right, that it has not changed him at all. Once said to me, I've led more people, you know, stone on cocaine to Jesus than you ever have, you know, leading a church. And I'm like, well, cool, that's awesome. You know, because it's not going to happen just by reading and having more knowledge. It's going to happen because you change and because you grow. Truth is that we change as we apply the Word of God to our lives through the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's the point James is trying to get across here. He's trying to get across the point that you need to apply it. I have this this amazing treadmill at home. Sometimes I forget I have it, but it's like expensive. And this treadmill, it hangs clothes real nice. But like it's amazing. It's got like it's you could put a TV in front of it with a DVD, and it'll walk you through a forest and the you know it'll go up and down over the hills. It'll move. It'll take you for this beautiful walk. It has a fan. It'll blow it at you. It'll go different speeds. It'll speed up, slow down, make it harder, make it easier. It's an amazing treadmill. It's amazing. It'll do everything for me except work out. If I get to do that, I could sell this thing. Because the truth is, right, unless I do something with it, it's just a big piece of garbage that clutters up my basement and I get to hang clothes on. Christianity and Christian growth as a Christian is not just about knowing the Bible. It's about doing what it says. So if you come to church every week and you worship and you hear what the Word of God says, but you never, ever do anything with it, it's a waste of your time. Right? If you came here this morning and you heard the Word of God and there's no change in your life because of it, maybe you ticked the box in your own mind and you said, well, I did my Christian thing, I showed up at church, it's all cool, but it really doesn't mean anything. It's not going to help you one bit. We have to change. We have to do something with it. You know, like we hear messages on family and then, you know, like people go home and treat their spouse like they're trash. It's not application, it's just knowledge. Knowledge won't help you. Knowledge, you know, like is not the principal thing. Knowledge will help you to grow, but until you use it, it's not of any value. If you're going to work and being hard to get along with and moody and you're like the slowest worker in the place and you've got the longest coffee breaks, you take the Word of God and apply it to your life and be what God's asked you to be. Right? If you're coming to church every Sunday and still having sex with a person that you're not married to, and you're still sleeping around and doing those kind of things, then really, you know what? You need to take the Word of God and live it. Because it doesn't do any good unless we live it. It really will not have value. Right? We need to live out what we already know, so that we'll actually one day be the person that's growing in the truth of the Word of God, because we're applying it and not just collecting it. I know it sounds a bit rough, but if we're really going to make the name of Jesus famous in the world, we need to live the Word of God. He gave it to us so we can live the way He prescribed for us to live. This thing is life-changing if we'll do what it says. It's changed my life. I know it's changed a lot of lives. We need to do, though, what it says. We can't just talk about it. We can't make excuses all the time, because excuses will make you feel better in the moment, but they won't help you over time. Right? Sometimes we just need to take responsibility. I remember when I was younger, you know, like, and I was leading, you know, youth, and Christine and I weren't married yet, and I was just goofy. You know, like, I was just a goofy person, and I wasn't very responsible, and I was like, you know, well, you know, God made me this way because I'm a youth pastor. Yay, right? I was an idiot, honestly. And God really dealt with me about it. And I took God's word and started being responsible and living it and changed and became the person that God wanted me to be in that area. But we all have things like that. We need to just identify. We make excuses for it. We allow it to keep going, but we need to identify it. It's my goal whenever I preach to hold up that mirror so that each one of us could see ourselves the way God sees us. The last I'm going to close with this is the comparison. Number 4, the comparison. In Luke chapter 6, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet don't do what I tell you. Anyone who comes to me and listens to my words and obeys them, I show them what he is like. He is like a man who, in building a house, dug deep, laid the foundation on rock. The river flooded over and hit that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But anyone who hears my words and does not obey them is like a man who built his house without laying a foundation. When the flood hit that house, it fell at once. And what a terrible crash there was. Now, all of us know, right, to lay a foundation is a lot of work. It's not easy, right? To have a foundation under your house is not easy. Christine and I, last year, or 2 years ago now, we put in a new walkway to our front door. We put down, what do you call those stones? Flagstone. So it's just natural, flat stone. And you know, like, we had a lot of dirt there, a little bit of gravel, and we could have laid them just right on there, right? On the dirt and the mixed gravel. But if we had done that, it would have been like all kind of messy and crooked and all messed up. But instead, we dug down. We put down, you know, 6 or 8 inches of fine gravel. We laid the stones in carefully. And Christine did that. She did a beautiful job. But now, 2 years later, they still lay nice. It's still a beautiful looking walkway. But it took work to make the foundation. So many times we want God's will our way. We want to do our stuff our way and not really do what God. But this scripture is very good comparison or contrast on which way is best. The one who built his house and built a foundation by doing what God said, his house was strong and it lasted. But the one who didn't, his house falls down. Your house will fall down. So many times we sit in times of crisis and we go, why is everything falling apart? And this is not always true, but sometimes it is true. It's because we haven't built our house on a foundation that's strong. And we can't really endure the pain that we suffer because we just don't have a foundation in God's Word to help us. We could build that. It's not unto death. It's not over. Life isn't over until it's over. Right? So you could still build that foundation. You can still get strong, but we got to take time in God's Word. We got to learn to love the Word of God. We got to learn to apply it to our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you that you've given us your Word. Lord, that we can know how to live. Lord, we can know what you would do in any given situation. Lord, that we can know what you think and what you think of us, Lord. And Lord, just today, I just pray that, Lord, in each one of our hearts, Lord, that you would help us to have a determination to love your word, to read your word, to long for your word, Lord, to apply your word to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name.